unto the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Well, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Well, glory be to God. Glory, 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 glory. Hallelujah. 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 Glory. Amen. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Praise God. You may be seated. The word of the Lord shall not return unto him void, but it shall reap that he sends it forth to reap. Now I would like for you to turn in the third chapter of the book of Matthew. You see, there's some subjects that's not being even mentioned in this hour. And the majority of people, and this is a very familiar word, kingdom has become very familiar. And everybody is talking about the kingdom of God, but everybody don't know what it is. And we must come to a place in God that we know who we are and know the position we have in the kingdom. Well, you see, you don't hear one aspect of the kingdom being preached now. And that is sons of the kingdom.
Right.
You don't hear that. People don't preach that. They very few even mention sons of God.
Right.
But in Matthew chapter 3 and verse 1 and 2 gives us a definite picture of what God is after. Well, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
He begins to tell you here, talking about John. Read with me, Bob.
In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea.
Now, in those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea. Now, when you begin to hear that, how many of you understand what's taking place here? There never had been any preaching before that.
Hello.
Well, a new thing has started.
Yeah.
And then he said something else in the next verse.
And saying,
he introduced his subject and what he was being sent to do and the purpose of his ministry in verse 2.
And saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.
Amen.
Well, now that is what he was sent for. Repent. Oh, hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, you've got to understand what that word means.
Right.
Hallelujah. Now here's what he was really saying. Change your thinking about the kingdom.
Right. Right.
It's not out of your reach.
Right.
It's right at hand.
Amen. Amen.
And if it's at hand,
yeah,
you can have it.
That's it.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Ooh, glory. And then traditional preachers are preaching all over the world. Jesus is coming to establish a kingdom. How sad. Well, hallelujah. John the Baptist said it's right at hand. He said, I want you to repent for the way that you have approached the kingdom. Change your thinking concerning the kingdom. Now, brother, that is what needs to be preached in this hour. The church needs to change their thinking about the kingdom. And it's going to be set up when Jesus comes. He's not coming to establish a kingdom. He's coming to receive one. Well, glory to God. And you can't have a kingdom without a king. Oh, glory to God. Now, I don't want to go back. I mentioned this. Oh, it was at the table, not in the service. We had a round table conference this morning. But you'll have to go all the way back to Abraham. And God said to Abraham, many kings will come out of your loins. Amen. Well, now that can't happen until you have nations. King ain't no good unless he's got some to rule over.
Amen, yes.
Well,
amen.
Then he brings Sarah into the picture. And I want you to know, when Abraham heard what God was going to do, he laughed.
Right.
And Sarah, eavesdropping of what the angel was telling Abraham, and when she heard that, she laughed.
Yeah.
Well, glory. And her name was Sarah. And so God had to do some changing in Abram and Sarah. So he took Abram and added some laughter. Ha! Now you men must understand that whenever he takes the eye off of the woman's name and the wife's name, she's going to laugh too.
Yeah.
Even though neither one of them understands the full impact of what God is saying. And so he said, I'm going to call you Sarah, which means laughter. And out of your being shall come nations. Now the two's added together. Nations from Sarah, kings from Abraham. Well, glory to God. Hallelujah. And one ain't no good without the other.
Hey, that's right. Come on.
Amen.
And you ain't no good without your mate. And Sarah said something else. I like this. Can I have pleasure in my old age? Now, if you do research on that. Oh, glory.
Hallelujah.
I don't want to embarrass nobody, but you ought to have enough sense to know what he's talking about without even research. They're talking about a sexual relation.
Like on a honeymoon.
Yes. But my God, one's 100 and the other one's 90-something. And they're talking about pleasure? Oh, hallelujah. Somebody said, what do you mean? I mean, you never get too old.
Hallelujah.
There's even hope for this old man. Even hope for that old man. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, glory to God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You can preach hard to people if you learn how to smile with it.
That's right.
And you can get up here with a sour puss on your face, and there ain't nobody going to listen to your hard preaching.
That's right, man.
Hallelujah.
Well, repent. Now, how many of you understand repent simply means change your thinking? That's right. Change your stinking thinking. Hallelujah. I must prove to you that Jesus is not coming to set up a kingdom. So if you'll turn in your Bible to the second chapter of Daniel. And he mentions five kingdoms here.
Right.
Oh, glory to God. And when he mentions the five kingdoms, Nebuchadnezzar was the head.
Right.
And Daniel said, those was the head
right.
in the vision.
Right.
And what rules the earthly kingdom? I don't feel that I should break down all these kingdoms. But in verse 44 or 42, yeah, but I wanted 42 first.
And as the toes of the feet were part of iron
and
part of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly broken.
That's the condition just prior to John coming.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. A mixture. And iron and clay does not mix. Now if you read verse 44.
And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom.
Now when is he going to set it up?
In the days of these kings.
In the days that these kings are ruling. Praise God. Now who... You've got to learn the difference between Judah and Benjamin and Israel. There's a difference. Israel, the 10 tribes, went into Assyrian captivity a long time before Judah and Benjamin was carried in to Babylon. Assyria is up into the north of the Tigris River, and Babylon is in the south part of the Tigris River. Two captivities here,
right.
And most folks don't even realize it.
That's exactly it.
And if you would follow them, Assyria made Israel watchmen, and they policed the territory because they were honest. Now, in Babylon, it was a different story. Benjamin and Judah intermarried with Babylonian women. And the Bible said they built them houses. And they wasn't desiring to come back and do the work of God. Well, and out of that Judah and Benjamin, God chose Ezra to come and to build the temple. Then he chose Nehemiah to build the wall around the temple. Now, you've got to understand, the temple and the walls are two different things. Hallelujah. Isaiah said, thy walls shall be called salvation, and thy gates shall be called praise. Well, a wall is made for protection, and gates let you in and out of that protection. And Ezra is building a temple. And before he got that temple started real good, he stood on a wooden platform and read the Word of God. Oh, hallelujah. 6 hours without ceasing.
Right.
And you complain if we preach an hour, an hour and a half. Glory to God. But when we begin to read on in this 42nd or 44th verse, he tells you that the God of heaven, in the days of these kings, are going to set up a kingdom.
Which shall never be destroyed.
Now, when he sets it up, it will never be destroyed. Neither will it be left to other people.
And the kingdom shall not be left to other people.
Amen.
But it shall break in pieces and
all consume the other
all
kingdoms.
These kingdoms.
It's going to break them up.
And it shall stand forever.
Amen. All right.
Now we've got something that's standing for eternity.
Amen.
And it'll never break up.
Amen.
My God. Then he said, read on.
For as much as thou sawest that the stone was
now
cut.
Now that you saw that the stone that was hewed out of the mountain was without hands. Oh, I like this.
Now
this stone was hewed out of the mountain without hands.
Amen.
Or without man's help.
Right.
And when God said to Moses, you tell him I am.
Amen.
Oh, glory. And what did he mean? He said, I'm God without your help.
Yes.
Amen.
Come on.
Amen. Yes.
And I'm here to tell you that God set up a kingdom. Amen. For eternity.
Yes.
That'll never be left to other people.
Amen.
He offered it to the Jews. Uh-oh. And they refused it. And he said, the kingdom is taken away from you.
Right, come on.
And now here where Sarah comes in. And given unto a nation, not a church, but a nation that's going to bring forth fruit thereof. And that fruit is in Galatians, the fruit of the Spirit.
Right.
Oh, glory. For if it's not spirit, it's not kingdom.
Amen, yes.
Oh, hallelujah. So your flesh has got nothing to do in the kingdom.
Amen.
And your flesh cannot accomplish anything in the kingdom.
Come on. Come on.
Oh, glory to God. For God is not looking for fleshly people in the kingdom. He's looking for spiritual people.
Amen.
Spiritual leaders. Oh, glory to God.
Mm.
And God knows that you don't start off in the Spirit. And God knows that you have to be born again out of the flesh into the Spirit. And therefore, if any man be in Christ,
amen,
he is a new creature.
Amen.
Your old Adam nature. Oh, glory.
Yeah.
Now, I could detour right here a few minutes.
That's right.
And when Joshua was leading Israel across Jordan, the Bible said Jordan was out of his banks all the time of harvest.
Right.
Do you hear a harvest today, and all they're talking about is the building of a church? That's not what harvest is.
Amen.
Harvest is a time of judgment.
Amen.
The floodgates are open. Oh, glory to God. And you are having to step into flooded water. That is if you want to enter in now.
Amen.
And when you enter in, the banks of Jordan is already flooded. Overflowing all the time of harvest. That's what he said. Then he begins to say, the priest. Now here is where the problem starts. The priest carries the Ark of the Covenant, and they march into that flooded river. And God said, you are to stand in this water until all of Israel crosses over. Well, glory.
Amen.
And if you want something else, make you scratch your head. Oh, hallelujah. Joshua said, you haven't been this way here too before. So you are marching in a land and on a path that's never been trodden before. Nobody has ever walked it before you. Well, glory to God. And you become a pioneer. Well, and then he said something else. Oh, before they got down to Jordan, he said, when you see the priest bearing the Ark of the Covenant, glory, leave where you are at and follow that anointing.
Amen.
Now, you will never come into the kingdom until you see the King. And when you see the King, you have to be submitted to Him. That's a bad word, you know. Submit. No man gonna tell me what to do. Bless God, I know what to do. Well, why don't you do it? Why don't you do it? Well, oh, glory to God. What do you realize it or not, the very minute that you move in to this kingdom, you've got to have a change.
Right.
Now, you've been eating manna for 40 years. There's been books and books wrote on how dietitians and how much vitamins is in this manna. And yet, I told Brother, I guess he's all right if I call his name, W.B. Grant Sr. I told him one day, I said, W.B., if God ever moves on you, you'll have to have a bonfire burning all these stinking books you've got. Oh, brother. I said, oh, brother, nothing. You wrote so many books telling folks how they got to do and what they've got to do. You've got to build a bonfire out of them. Get rid of them. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Somebody said, well, why do you have such a hard time? Well, God told me when I first started, the first prophecy God ever gave me, yea, son, thou art my battle axe.
Ah!
And brother, that was the most foolish word that I've ever seen. Because everywhere I go, I get in trouble. Hallelujah. But I don't mind it.
That was the axe laid to the root of the tree.
That's what he said.
Amen.
Oh, glory. And see, I won't put up with nothing unless the Spirit.
Amen. Hallelujah.
I'll cut down to the very root of it.
Yeah.
If it ain't spirit, it is not kingdom.
Amen.
Well, glory. Hallelujah. You ain't never heard nothing like Joshua done. My God, got these people in a hostile territory, circumcised them, crippled them, and made them unfit to battle, and they were sick and they were hurting. In a hostile territory. And if these folks had only knew it, they could have come in there and whooped the daylights out of all of them.
That's right.
And God's been speaking a word to me ever since. I don't know how you might feel and don't care about the preparation of war on Iraq. You don't matter for me how you think. But God's been saying one word to me, and that word is AI. Now you may not know what he's talking about, but AI was the next battle that Israel went in after Jericho, the walls fell. And they said this, Ai is a little city and not too many warriors there. Let's just take a few thousand soldiers and go in there and clean it up. Yeah. And they went in and got defeated. And Ai drove them back out of the land. So I said, what is he telling you for? I am afraid we are fixing to create another Vietnam. Now, whether you believe it or not, that's up to you. But I'm telling you now, Ai was not defeated. Why? Sin was in the camp. Achan had got the golden wedge, and not only that, but a Babylonian garment. If you've ever saw a church today that's not strutting around with a Babylonian garment, and after all the gold they can get, yes, then I want to know where it's at. The only place you'll find that kind of a church is a vehicle to bring people into the kingdom. And if you're not a vehicle bringing folks into the kingdom, you're a Babylonian church.
Right.
Well, glory. Can you say amen?
Yeah.
And if you weren't bringing folks into the kingdom, oh, glory. You're not going to bury things in your own tent.
Right.
Achan did. And he buried them in his tent. What have you got buried in your heart and in your life?
Oh, God.
Is it just making money? Or is it making a life? A lifestyle is much better than making money.
Amen.
He's promised everything you need. He'll supply.
That's right.
Glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. But I would like to just establish how he is establishing this kingdom. If you will turn to the 5th chapter of the book of Joshua, when they recovered from being circumcised. And how many of you know it's painful to be circumcised.
They were grown men.
Yeah, these was grown men. They wasn't babies like they circumcised now for to get out of the hospital. But God has told us all the way through the New Testament, a circumcision not made with hands. It's a spiritual operation that God is performing upon His people in this hour. And then after, they healed. They kept the feast of the Passover on the 14th day. And the Bible said the next day after Passover, the manna ceased. When they eat of the old corn of the land. My God. Now you could teach on this for 6 months or more and never exhaust the truth that's in this. My God. I used to preach on it in a title like this, Food for Champions. Food for Champions. Everybody can't eat it. My God, you got to have good teeth to eat the old parched corn. And you can't parch corn without heat. Oh, glory.
Hallelujah.
You're not catching what I'm saying.
Yeah, amen.
How many of you are catching what I'm saying? You got to go through the fire. Amen. And then you're going to get to eat the food of champions. And then the manna ceased. But God, I've been eating manna for 40 years. I've developed a taste for it. And now you ain't giving it to us no more. No. Oh, hallelujah. I don't have time to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. The Apostle Paul said, I couldn't feed you meat. I had to feed you with milk. Because you wasn't able to take the meat. Neither yet now are you able. Ah, glory.
Hallelujah.
How many of you understand whenever you get into the meat of the word, the shout goes? Well, glory. Corn develops muscle. Why? It's got the seed of life in it. Praise God. Years and years ago, I went into one of the pyramids in Egypt, outside of Cairo, and on a shelf there was a jar, an earthen jar, with corn in it. And I deliberately run my hand in that jar and got me a few kernels of that corn. Put it in my pocket. And I wasn't stealing. I was going to do an experiment. I got back to the hotel. And I put that corn in a microwave. And did you know that corn still parched? And I don't know how many thousands of years it had been in there. And I put it in my mouth and eat that corn. Hallelujah. And I found out the germ of life was still in it.
Amen.
Oh, glory. You've not been redeemed with silver and gold, but by the precious word of God
Amen.
That liveth and abideth forever.
Amen.
and will never see any corruption.
Amen.
Praise God forever. And you and I are inheriting the kingdom of God. God said, my good pleasure that I give you the kingdom. But there ain't a blessed one of us that's going to receive the kingdom as a gift. Apostle Paul said, with much tribulation you enter into the kingdom. Now why would he say tribulation? Because, honey, you're going to have trouble with the flesh when you start to move in the spirit.
Amen.
Well, glory to God.
Hallelujah.
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 Hallelujah. You won't have any problem moving in the spirit if you're willing for the flesh to be crucified. But if you are going to hold on to one of the desires of the flesh, you will be hindered. Because he will not allow flesh to come into the glory of God. Well, he tells you over in the book, the book of Exodus, he said, this holy oil shall not be put up on flesh. Now that's what God said. And then he said, I will anoint you with fresh oil.
Amen.
And he said, then you will flourish.
Amen.
Why aren't you prospering? You haven't got that fresh anointing from God.
Amen.
You're still holding on to that stinking flesh and wanting to hold on to it with one hand and the kingdom message with another hand. It will not work.
Amen.
You can't have both of them. Woo, hallelujah. I didn't mean to preach to get into this. I was so tired when I couldn't hardly get up here. But I feel renewed. Is it all right if I preach a little bit here? Amen. Well, their diet was changed.
Yes. Yeah.
And the old way of feeding them was cut off.
Yeah.
Well, glory. How many revivals that have had pastors to cancel out on me because they said I wasn't preaching holiness. I wasn't preaching against Pepsi Colas. And it wasn't preaching against the way women dress. God could care less about how you dress or what you eat. He's interested in you meeting the destiny that he's put in you.
Amen.
And you can miss the destiny that God puts in you. Oh, very easily. You can get settled on doing your own thing and miss the destiny. Well, not only did he change their diet, he changed the way they were being led. They had been used to following the cloud and the pillar of fire for 40 years. And now Joshua goes out to the city of Jericho when the walls fall flat, and there's a man out there with a sword drawn. Art thou for us or are you against us? Nay, neither one. I'm the captain of the host of the Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Now, take your shoes off, Joshua. I like this. Have any of you saw pastors stomping around and pranks around and they not careful where they walk and they step on sand spurs and cuckleberries. Oh, glory. Do you know what that is?
I don't know what cuckleberry is.
They don't know what cuckleberry is? It's a burr with sharp thorns all over it. And a sand spur is an equally sharp instrument, but it's not... but about half his size as a cuckoo burr. Oh, glory. I've accused people a lot of time of having a cuckleberry under their saddle. Oh, glory. And I'll tell you right now, if you get a cuckleberry under the saddle, you're on a wild ride. You're on a wild ride. Oh, glory to God.
Hallelujah.
And so this individual, which I believe was the angel of the Lord, which was Jesus the Christ before he was manifested. Glory. And he said, pull your shoes off. Now, there's three incidents of that. You know probably two of them. This one you know. Moses, you know that God told him, pull his shoes off. But do you know the third one? There was no provision for the high priest to wear shoes when he went into the Holy of Holies. Now why? It's simple. If you're going to be